Next Earth explorers, welcome to X-Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe, of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become if we thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, look out the window as we launch X-Squared Radio. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions for the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now, before our very eyes? Who were the Shining Ones who lived on the Earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysms? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two in the series that is sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com and get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version. Since ancient times, Egypt has expressed an irresistible spiritual magnetism on the hearts of millions of people. Experience 14 magic days in Egypt, exploring Cairo, the Pyramids of Giza, and the Temple of Dendera and Abydos with Maureen St. Germain. You cannot see it on your own as well as you can with this group. Click on the 14 Magic Days banner at X Squared Radio and join us in Egypt from October 6th through the 20th. Beneath the Earth in Western Kentucky. Good to have you here this Sunday, September 9th. The solar wind is a mild 316.9 kilometers per second, and there are no sunspots right now. The photon density is a mere 3.3 protons per square centimeter. Solar scientists are a little anxious as to why the solar cycle has not begun anew. 2 months after sky-darkening dust from severe storms nearly killed NASA's Mars exploration rovers, the solar-powered robots are alive and well and ready to continue their missions. The real question that baffles Dr. Jim Bell's team up at Cornell University is, who keeps wiping off those solar cells? The batteries, motors, and communications electronics are working years after they were supposed to. We're excited to see what they find at the bottom of the Victoria Crater on September 11th. Jet Propulsion Laboratory scientists and engineers sued NASA and the California Institute of Technology on Thursday of last week, challenging extensive new background checks that the Space Exploration Center and other federal agencies began requiring in the wake of September. It seems the Data Denial Act reached into more file drawers than the weather satellites that won't let us see the North Pole. Also in financial news, just to keep yourself heads up, Countrywide Financial, the biggest home lender in the U.S. on Friday night, announced plans for up to 12,000 job cuts, or one-fifth of its workforce, in the next 3 months as it forecasts a slump in mortgage volumes next year. The company said the job cuts would be lower if interest rates fell and mortgage market prospects improved, but on the basis of the current interest rate environment, it was predicting a 25% fall in the total mortgage market in 2008. Now, this is kind of interesting because although they're complaining of lower revenues, they're also making it tremendously more difficult for people to actually get mortgages. So just a little bit of cross thoughts you need to do as you read the news there. But what this really means in at the end of the day is that people are, it's maybe not a great time to own a home or maybe try to sell a home or try to buy a home. It's just one of those signs of the times that we were talking about. Making sure that you get around to getting your food storage together and your emergency preparedness, so make sure to get yourself down to NitroPack there at the X-Squared Radio website and pick up some of those food storage items. Last week on X-Squared Radio, we had William Henry on the program. You know by now, he is the foremost authority on Egyptian mythology. If you missed last week's program, you might not know that he has discovered the Osiris device. We also discovered how it was powered and possibly what it was used for. So make sure you get yourself to last week's archives and listen to it. Next week, we have two guests coming on the program. Jack Lapsaridis is, without a doubt, the closest person on Earth to the story of Sasquatch. He has lived with them, spoken to them, and even experienced their telepathic communications. He is the author of two books on the psychic Sasquatch. Our second guest is Mark Pinkham. He is bringing to X Squared Radio an exclusive interview with the current leader of the Yezidis. This is the world's oldest religion. Next February, we hope to be in Sri Lanka with him and his leaders to lay a cornerstone for world peace. Imagine an end to all religious warfare. This week on X Squared Radio, we have Dr. Dean Allen. Dean Allen holds a PhD in clinical psychology from Utah State University. He began his career doing biofeedback research on autonomic nervous system control as a function of imagery, and then taught a university course, Psychology of Consciousness, for several years. Dr. Allen also worked as a wellness and consciousness consultant for 10 years with major corporations at a resort in Florida, where he focused on teaching stress management, utilizing biofeedback to teach personal relaxation. In 1987, Dr. Allen became acquainted with how energy flow patterns, programmed by trauma, manifest as dysfunctions of the human body using the body talker. Dr. Allen has used this advanced technology exclusively with hundreds of clients for the past 17 years in his wellness practice. He is now focusing on helping to take these extraordinary tools to the next level of providing more clear, quick insights into human subtle energy programming. These organic insights enable us to identify and create positive, long-lasting changes in our physical and mental health by revealing our unconscious decisions that are creating and maintaining our problems that are steadily manifesting into physical degeneration and dysfunction. In plain English, I think that means you can get well, both mentally and physically. Before we begin tonight, I'm just going to leave you a short quote here from the Bhagavad When goodness grows weak, when evil increases, I make myself a body. In every age I come back to deliver the holy, to destroy the sin of the sinner, to establish righteousness. So here we are in the year 2007, a little over halfway through. We're starting the month of September. Winter will be upon us any minute by our cosmic clock. And we are still wondering as a people who we are, what we're made of. My guest tonight, Dr. Allen, I'm going to introduce him in just a second, may be one of the psychologists who has not only discovered what we are actually made of, but how we get broken sometimes and how to fix this. So please welcome with me tonight Dr. D.G. Allen. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you.
Excellent. I think we met at the, we met at an expo at Mount Shasta, I believe, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that is great. You know, part of the wonderful effect of being on the road and going out and talking about X-Squared Radio and about the books that I've helped co-author is getting to meet these fabulous people face-to-face. It's a little bit different than, I guess, other radio programs that just get deluged by people wanting to be on their program. I have to go out and actually meet people and find interesting folks, and we've got Dr. Allen with us tonight. You prefer to be called Dr. Allen or Dean?
Dean is fine.
All right, Dean. Here we go forward. You know, many people believe that we are actually beings of light, that we're actually made of light inside or some kind of vibration. What have you found in your research? What is the human being made of?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is the word chromosome, which is where we all begin. And if you break that word down, it's light body. And that's how we start off, as 23 chromosomes or memory banks from our mother and 23 from our father. And that carries all the genetic memory and the nucleus of the original cell. And then that cell with those 23 pairs of chromosomes turns into a human being that has 23 organ gland energy systems, which each have a very specific purpose, plan, function, issue, and trauma, which is what I call the language. And once you learn that language and compare that with a scientific measurement from an individual person, then you can start to see what's going on in terms of the electrical energy flow circuits with an individual and how that relates to their problems.
Well, before we get too far down the road, let's go back to this chromosome. This is this Latin? Is this a word that that we coined long ago to describe the actual molecular or the molecular biology of a human being?
Apparently, yes.
Now, can these? I know all light is not the same frequency. I mean, we have reds and oranges and greens and blues and all different wavelengths, and that's just the visible light. Is it possible that chromosomes can vibrate at different frequencies?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's exactly what it is. In fact, it's color light bodies.
Well, so this is going to be a great program, I can tell already. I was reading recently in the Arcturian Songs of the Masters of Light. It's a book by Patricia Pereira. And I'm just going to quote her just for a second because it's very interesting. It's a little different than the old heaven and hell kind of classification of light. She says, "A birthing planet vibrating at a lower tone than evolving Earth is preparing itself to receive beings who prefer to embrace greed and power, those who desire to control, possess, and destroy that which is not rightfully theirs. The awaiting planet is far from Earth, but is not altogether unlike Earth." Do you think it's possible that beings of light, let me say this, beings of like vibration of light tend to flock together?
I'm sure that's possible. I'm sure that's the way it works. what I have come to realize is that everything operates according to what I call the laws of energy. Mm. And I think that's probably the way energy works.
So energy sort of has an affinity with energy of pretty much the same vibration.
Right.
So we realize that sometime in our lives that we have inside us this energy, this amazing light.
Right.
I know the ancient masters taught us that we should love ourselves first. That is to say, learn to love and appreciate who we are.
Right.
And then when we do that, we'll be able to love others.
Exactly.
What can you tell us of how to master this art of loving oneself?
Well, I think what it really comes down to is being able to get beyond the dark, which is the opposite of light, energy and programming. And basically what I've found and come to realize in working in this work for some time is that the main thing that's going on in the human system is homeostasis. In other words, we have to maintain homeostasis continuously in order to just stay alive.
Help us understand what homeostasis means.
Balance, electromagnetic balance. In other words, we've got to keep the energy within our body balanced in order to stay connected to our life force, which is the difference between being alive and dead.
Wow. Okay, and if we get out of balance, then there's a problem.
Right, and any emergency room, that's the first thing they do is maintain homeostasis and establish homeostasis, because if they don't do that, nothing else matters.
Right, right. I mean, you don't want to be trying to save someone's leg when their vital signs are heading for
right.
a flat line.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So, you know, when we talk about the science of psychology, many people don't have a lot of faith in it. They go to self-help gurus, or they try to eat right, or they listen to their hairdresser, but they try to get advice from someone to gain psychological help. But
right.
in your experience, where do these psychic wounds, where do they come from?
Say that again. Where do the psychic what?
Where do the psychic wounds? Where do the psychic...
Oh, the psychic wounds.
Yeah.
Well, they basically come from trauma. And, of course, trauma is what throws us out of homeostasis. And once we experience trauma, then we have to survive that trauma. And in order to survive the trauma, we have to maintain, we have to reestablish homeostasis and that balance so that we can stay connected to our life force, our physical body can stay connected to our life force. And when we are experiencing trauma, the energy, the dark energy that really separates us from the light, which was your original question, we take that energy on in order to create counterbalance. Or the best way that I've learned to explain that is like a person walking a tightrope. There's two ways to basically walk the tightrope. You can either use a balance pole, which if you do, the force is going down, and you're basically counterbalancing the weight that is equal on both sides in order to maintain the balance. And that is analogous to the what I call the dragon energy. And that dragon energy creates a short-term solution, in other words, balance or homeostasis, so that you can survive the trauma. And once you take on this energy, then this energy takes on a life of its own. And that energy will, you know, follow its own agenda. And that becomes very familiar, and then it becomes a habit, and then it becomes something that we identify with, and what that does is separate us from our own light and our own being. And so this process that I've been working with actually measures the electrical circuitry between all the different organs and glands of the body. And over the years, we've come to identify and realize what the issues are on particular circuits between particular organs and glands. For example, the circuit between the adrenals and the pancreas is associated emotionally with depression. It's associated physically with hypoglycemia. And every single circuit has that kind of a parallel between what's going on the emotional level and what's going on the physical level and what's going on the mental level and the spiritual level.
So you're saying someone who is outwardly expressing depression or the signs of depression,
right,
also mimic the signs of low blood sugar.
Right.
Now that is amazing. And maybe people try to counteract that by going for a Snickers bar.
Well, yes, and that may be a short-term solution. But what you're really doing until you identify and switch the energy for the elegant solution is you're actually feeding the dragon. So the dragon will always create a short-term solution that results in a long-term problem.
And what is the long-term problem? If you just
disease, disorder, dysfunction, and degeneration.
Wow. Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. How far back, in your experience, have you been able to identify trauma in a human being?
Well, the traumas will vary between what we would maybe call acute traumas, which would be a new experience, to what we might call chronic traumas, which may be an ancestral trauma. In other words, if your grandmother and great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother all had the same kinds of traumas, you're going to be predisposed to make the same kind of decisions which will result in the same kind of traumas.
Oh, now that's fascinating. I want to go into that a little bit more. So let's just say, let's use an example that you come from a long line of military commanders. And
right.
They've seen their share of bloodshed. You know, they say war is hell. Just watching it on TV makes me nauseous, but
right.
You can imagine being in it in real life. So
mm-hmm.
Now here you are four, five, six generations in the future. We don't have any immediate warfare. There are no tanks rolling
right.
down the streets of the average neighborhood in the United States. But you've got this ancestral echo
mm-hmm.
in you. How do you see people in a relatively peaceful environment in which they live now playing out that ancestral vibration?
Well, they will be highly sensitive to what we call triggers. And that will be anything that would remind them in any way of what that trauma was, because it's all about memory.
And then they might react in, maybe not.
They'll react in the present as if they were in the past. And when they do that, they'll recreate the past in the present.
How about that? So if your ancestry had a predisposition to solve its problems with violence, you may have a tendency to do that as well.
Right, right. And if you try and solve problems with violence, you will attract violence. And you're right back in the war.
Well, now let me ask you, let's go a little bit further beyond this ancestral thing. We've gone into generational memory now that just
right.
comes forward with your physical chromosomes. What about the spirit chromosomes? What about the idea that a human intelligence exists forever and that it maybe goes through many experiences before it gets here?
Well, I think that's probably true. It's a little hard to deal with that scientifically.
That's true.
But I have every reason to believe intuitively that that's exactly how it works. What I see is a continuum of energy from the most subtle to the most dense. And those four levels are pretty well understood in terms of human functioning by what we call the physical level, the emotional level, the mental level, and the spiritual level.
So, in your clinical experience, have you seen anyone come in, or have you tried to work with anyone who is displaying some predisposition? Maybe they don't know anything about their ancestry, but maybe they have memory, what they claim is a memory from a past experience. Do you have anyone come in with that that problem or that experience?
Well, yes, and I think we see a lot of this in terms of triggers and flashbacks and things like that that people don't necessarily understand, but they certainly have a huge influence on them if they happen to be a victim of those. Because what really happens is this person becomes less functional in terms of their spiritual potential and probably even their mental and emotional potential. Because, see, what's going on energetically is that energy is not spinning up and out into production and consciousness. It's spinning down and in into survival.
Now, I've seen that, where people just kind of hunker down and protect their emotions, become detached, and they won't let anything or anyone in order to prevent any further damage.
Right. And see, that's the dragon scenario.
So let's go back to this concept of mastering the art of self-love.
Okay.
Because I think these things play into that, because when we're in this state where we're kind of battling this out behind our own eyelids,
there
really isn't anyone else involved in this. This is all internal.
Right, it's an inside job.
Yeah, it's an inside job, right. And in fact, they may go through substantial effort to keep others out while they go through this process.
Right.
But this is the process of developing a self-love. However, I'm no clinical psychologist, but my experience is that they don't naturally come out of this with greater self-love.
No.
So what do we do?
What I tell people is you can't go north when you're going south. And what that means is you can't become connected to the ways of the spirit when you're locked into the ways of the dragon. And the ways of the dragon go back to trauma memory. And that trauma memory will always try and repeat itself as if the present was identical to the past. And if you're not conscious enough to get ahead of that, you really don't have a choice.
Yeah, because you just keep spinning it over
exactly.
and over. Like a feedback loop.
Exactly.
That's what the dragon is.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's what you were trying to explain to me.
Right.
All there. So, if we, my greatest teacher taught me one time not to worry about how I am loved, only how I love others.
Uh-huh.
So, how can we, as beings of light, learn to do this better?
Well, the first thing I think that is almost critical is to have a clear understanding of who we are and how we function. It's what I call the game. And it's like any other game. If you're trying to play a game that your life depends upon and you don't even know how the game works, good luck. And so that's the first thing I try and teach people, is that who they are and how they function comes down to 23 organ gland energy systems, each of which have a very specific purpose, plan, function, issue, and trauma. And once you learn that language, and then you can measure the energy flow patterns on an individual person and feed this back to them so that they can get what we call ahas. And they say, oh, yeah, I do that. Oh, yeah, that's right. And these ahas allow them to be conscious of their own programming. And once they're conscious of their own programming, then they can get ahead of their programming and make a different choice. And once you do that the first time, I tell people that's 50% of the change.
Wow. So that's 50% of the change, and I guess that the other 90% of the work takes the other 50% of the change.
Right. Right. And that's the refinement. But the first step is just to do it. It's kind of like cutting a new engram in the brain, a new pattern of memory and behavior. And once you cut that new pattern, then it's easier to go from there.
Well, it's kind of funny. It's like, I guess it's like being lost in the psychological snowstorm and
yes.
walking around in circles, and we don't recognize our own footprint.
Oh, yeah.
Around. So you've got this aerial view where you can look down and say, hey, if those are your footprints, you're
right. Right. That's a good way to put it.
That's very cool. I like this. This is really going somewhere cool. I'm trying to get this more nuts and bolts so people can understand.
Sure.
This is a self-help program. But I understand that you have at least developed some science to be able to identify these 23 junction boxes in the human body.
Right.
And you've developed some instrumentation that can help you more objectively look at these junction points and tell when things are working right and when they're not working right. And maybe even tool up individuals so that they could do it for themselves.
Right. Right. Well, I kind of picked up on this midstream. I wasn't the original developer of this, but picked it up after it had its original development, and then the person that did that died, and at that time I had quit psychology because after 15 years or more of doing my research in biofeedback, I had reached a point where I knew for sure I didn't have what my clients needed and what they were coming to me for and paying me for. And so at that point, I quit psychology and went into sales, and I told people I did that so I could be honest. And what I meant by that is that I couldn't honestly tell people that I had something for them when I felt for sure that I didn't.
Right.
And so basically, that was 20 years ago, and I've been doing this work now full-time for the last 20 years with thousands of clients. And it uses infrared, and, of course, what infrared measures is the density of electrons. And, of course, that translates to heat.
Right.
And heat translates to resistance. And resistance translates to fear and trauma memory.
So these hot spots, if you will, that show
right.
up, indicate that energy isn't flowing. It's being
right.
popped up in that place.
Exactly.
Bunching up like a little short
exactly.
circuit. And your equipment shows it up, and then you can because you've got this catalog or this cross-reference, you
right.
can follow. You know, I see that you've been doing this, and maybe you know you have a system of questions that you ask that brings the person's awareness to that spot.
Well, what it comes down to, once you learn the language, it's really very simple because every organ is designed to do two basic things, and that is to discriminate input and express output, and every organ is kind of in charge of a different aspect of your life, your body, your business, and your relationships. And when those organs are free of trauma memory, they do it very naturally. It isn't anything that you have to learn how to do. You already know how to do it. The only problem is when you have traumas to those organs or circuits that create an energy that spins backwards, and in physics, this energy is called black body mass. And it's a magnetic energy. It's basically what I call the energy of the black holes. And, of course, the universe itself is designed exactly the same way. There's two basic energies. Stars, which spew energy or hydrogen or light out, and black holes, which suck it in. So one is a pushing energy and the other is a pulling energy. And the balance between them is the electromagnetic balance.
Now, are you saying that a normally healthy person who's flowing, firing on all cylinders, flowing through all 23 of these is generally
right.
going to be cool all over, or are they going to be uniformly warm?
Well, they will be the normal body temperature, and they will have a their body. If you put your hand over their body will have a very even temperature. Now, someone who has a lot of these block circuits, if you put your hand over their body, you'll find hot spots and cold spots that are very apparent.
How about that? Now, is there any other way of treating these hot spots, or do you have to go into the person and ask questions and get them to, you know, face their fears, so to speak?
Well, I think in terms of the health profession, there's many ways that people. In fact, I just learned recently that even Hippocrates, clear back in the beginning of medicine, used a form of what we now use with infrared. And what he would do is he would get a patient, and he would smear their body, naked body, with mud. And then he would observe which part of the body dried first, and that's what he used to determine where the problem was.
How about that? A good way to catch inflammation.
Right. Right. And see, that's when you even look at medical language, why they talk about this. There's Latin words for it that I don't have on the end of my tongue, but it's basically this this inflammation and heat that shows up as the first stage of degeneration. And, of course, almost all the problems that are killing people today are what we call degenerative disorders.
And those translate to organ failures, nervous failures.
Right, exactly. Everything.
Well, let me ask you a question. You were talking about chromosomes earlier,
mm-hmm.
and I've been doing quite a lot of reading about human DNA and the fact
mm-hmm.
that the double helix molecule. Now, keep in mind, folks, that DNA is a macromolecule. We're talking 500,000 molecular weight, something on that order. You know, way up there, a good-sized molecule, and it's used to build genes in the body, which are made up of chromosomes. Now, or the other way around.
Chromosomes, yeah, the other way around.
Genes, yeah. One is smaller, one is bigger. I don't claim to be a biochemist, but I understand something.
Nor do
anyway.
I.
Anyway, the shape of these molecules resembles that of an antenna, and that people can actually make their DNA down to the molecular level of their body vibrate at a certain frequency, or at vary the frequency at will. And the interesting thing is that when two or more people get together within close proximity of one another, their DNA actually communicates one with the other. So the intention or power of one being can be transferred to another being, and usually, at least in the records that I've been able to find, the higher developed DNA lifts or redevelops the lower DNA. And I'm looking back in some ancient records, things like where Jesus was walking with his apostles. I'm just going to make a wild assumption here and say that his DNA was more developed than theirs. Mm-hmm. And he was lifting them up the whole 3 years that he was working with them, all the way even to the point where they went to the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right.
So can I at least, get an agreement from you that there is a way for DNA to communicate this way?
I think so. That makes sense to me. Again, I'm not, biology and anatomy was not my background and training. I kind of got into it by default.
All right. So if we are beings of light, and, granted we're sort of locked in this, grade A beef on the hoof, so to speak, but we are beings of light.
Right.
How do you help people become sensitive to the light in other people?
And other people. Well, I think it really comes down to the same thing as becoming sensitive to the light in themselves.
Yeah.
And the way that I see, and going back with all my clients and seeing how that has actually happened, it really comes down to one step at a time. And the first thing that I see as the most important, like I said, is for them to understand that they are 23 energy systems that are designed to express and discriminate that particular vibration of energy. And when they're able to do it for themselves, then they can see it and connect with it in others.
Well, very good. Yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to go with this. So,
yeah.
Let's go back to the master teacher. Let's go back to Jesus. He basically gave us two commandments. I mean, he rehearsed a lot of things of what it would be great to be like, but two basic commandments. One was to love yourself, right?
Right.
And there was a piece of that commandment that said to love others as yourself.
Right.
But, those kinds of things are written in Greek, and when he says, love thy neighbor as thyself, he's basically, in Greek logic, telling us to love yourself, and love yourself so intensely that you have the capacity to love others. Because if you don't love yourself, it's just impossible to
exactly.
love someone else. So this light that needs to be flowing inside of you, this energy that needs to be flowing inside of you, it gets blocked up in certain...
Right, exactly.
Just about everybody's got some kind of, temporary... constipation of light, if you will, inside of them. And maybe we work through it, and maybe we just hide from it, or we fool ourselves, or we do what I call camping. We find a place, or a job, or a relationship, or something that we're comfortable with, and we don't want to go any further.
Right.
We don't want to get promoted. We don't want to raise. We don't want to move.
Yeah.
We don't want to graduate. We just want to stay right there forever.
Right.
And I'm sure you find that.
All the time, although I don't see many of those people. Now, this is the thing that I found very interesting in doing this work. This work, compared to the kind of psychology that I did before I did this with, biofeedback and all the other clinical methods that everybody uses in the field, when I was doing that work, I got a kind of a broad range of clients, all the way from the most evolved to the least evolved. And when I started doing this work, what I began to notice is that I didn't really get very many, and I continued to get fewer and fewer people who were on the lower rung. And what I came to realize is that the dragon hates the light, and it'll never move toward the light. So if the dragon is in control of your decisions, they'll never come see me, because they understand what I'm doing long before the person does.
Uh-huh.
And they will naturally avoid it, or come up with excuses or reasons, or just turn and run.
So that's if they're listening to the dragon, right?
Right.
Now, I guess I have a, can you spot these dragon people right off, or?
Not really, no. And they come in many different shapes and flavors and sizes and personalities. And there's probably everybody has their own unique way of integrating their dragon into their personality. And some people, for whatever reason, are really committed to what I would call the truth. And these people are truth seekers. And that's what they want, no matter what. And for some reason, somehow, and it probably has a lot to do with their own genetic programming and their ancestral line, they don't seem to be controlled or consumed by dragon behavior. And they have the motivation to really seek the truth and to confront their dragons and to evolve beyond them. Whereas people who have more traumas, more background of that kind of energy that would spin the energy backwards, they're what you call campers. You know, they'll get to some place where they can survive, and they will just hang out there.
Because they don't want to take the risk to keep anything.
Exactly.
Well, what about people who have sort of made it a little bit up the ladder? In other words, they've maybe found themselves a position of light, like say a religious leader. Can the dragon people hide in religious positions?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in many ways, that's probably where the biggest and most sophisticated dragons live, because where is the best cover for a dragon? And that is to hide behind the light. And so you see this in many different situations that reflect the light, because the dragon is it's attracted to the light in terms of being able to look like they're in the light. The dragon likes that, especially the more sophisticated, more evolved dragons. And so they will evolve to those things. Now, they may or may not get by with it, depending on probably the organization itself and how much other dragon energy is in it. But this would be what I would call dragon evolvement. In other words, this is where the dragons would evolve, is to hide behind a brighter light so that they can look like they're in the light, but they're really not. But as Jesus said, you will know them by their deeds. So if you watch them carefully, you'll figure it out, because dragons always act like dragons in the end if you observe closely enough.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Well, I do know some people who, I'm not going to say they're dragons, but they definitely have been accused of having a dark side. But
right.
When it comes to their acts, their open acts of kindness, their lifetime of service, it's unmatched. In fact, I find myself wanting when I compare, you know, my acts of service and my acts of charity
right.
compared to theirs. I find
right.
myself wanting big time.
Right. Well, and it's many times not one thing or the other. And when you start looking at it in terms of organ gland trauma, why, you will see that, you know, one person may have dragons associated with certain organs, and another person will have dragons associated with other organs. And the behavior of those dragons will come out very differently.
Huh. Well, are the dragons that hide behind the light, are they more dangerous than the ones who show up to all of us as beings?
Well, only in the sense that they're more subtle and more hidden, and they can be much more deceptive to those that are observing them.
Hmm. Well, I understand the art of deception, at least the one that stands there and says, I'm a being with no light inside of me, or I'm blocked up, and I'm being honest about it. At least you know who they are.
Right, exactly.
You know, they're being the best dark side that they can be.
Right.
But the others, you know, put on a suit and tie, go to work, or take the pulpit, or make
right.
a speech or whatever. And that's their public persona.
Right.
That, hey, I am this, quote,
right.
righteous person full of light, and I'm here to shine on you. And, by the way,
exactly.
take out your checks and send them in this next Sunday.
Right.
But in real life, they're maybe not that way at all, or they have this
right.
dark side that they're constantly mulling over, fighting off, because they've never gone in and actually rooted out this
right.
this dark side.
Well, and see, the dragon's nature is it is the master of darkness. And darkness basically comes down to the unconscious and the survival mechanism. And it does not want to be seen. And that's why we say it's the master of darkness. It wants to stay hidden. So if it's doing something that's really dark, there's going to be an inclination to do something else that looks like it's really light. Because that creates a better hiding place.
I see. I'm understanding more about it now.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think, well, I was going to ask you a question, but it's maybe jumping ahead just a little bit. Maybe we'll wait till the second hour to get into it.
Okay.
Do you ever have these individuals come to you as a clinician or as a psychologist and say, hey, I keep trying to live my life this one way, but something inside me keeps bringing me back to these dark thoughts. How do I get over that?
I don't think I've ever had anyone really present it that way, and I think the reason is because if the dragon is that strong, like I said before, I'll never see these people. And the ones that I see, usually, if they're doing something like that, they don't understand exactly why they're doing it. Because there's a part of them, which is what we'd call the spirit, that is very pure. But there's another part that they don't understand. And that they end up, under certain circumstances, doing things that they're not happy about. And those people are kind of torn. In other words, the dragon doesn't have so much control that I don't see them at all. In other words, they're bothered enough by what they're doing that they may... And it many times it doesn't come out behaviorally. In other words, they won't even recognize their behavior. But what'll happen is it'll manifest as some kind of a physical or emotional problem or a relationship problem or something like that. And that's how I will end up, you know, making contact with them. In other words, they will really want a certain relationship, but they do things in the relationship that really, almost destroys the relationship. So I'll end up seeing them for relationship problems. Well, and of course, what I know before I ever see him is the problem is always the dragon. And of course, what the dragon does is act like a dragon. And the dragon is not interested in anything else other than survival. And it's certainly not interested in the light or what we would call the truth. The way the dragon operates is through fear, force, and manipulation.
Really?
So whenever you see that, you know what you're dealing with.
Hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about the fear. I've heard it described from my friend Michal Ledwig that fear is about 40 times more powerful than love is. It is a fantastic manifesting force.
Right.
And people that don't understand that go through life fearful.
Right.
Manifesting the very thing they fear with
exactly.
their energy. So fear, does this generate the kind of heat that you pick up with
yes.
your technology?
Yes, because it's resistance, and resistance creates heat.
Well, that's interesting. What about the dragon operating in the lower three chakras?
The lower three chakras. That isn't the way I really break it out, so I'm not sure I have a great response to the lower three chakras. The lower chakras, however, are more oriented around survival.
Right, exactly. The gut, you know.
And of course, so is the dragon. So I would guess that that's, if the dragon is really connected and locked in to the lower three chakras, I would expect it to be much more difficult to deal with.
I got you. Less intellectual and more instinctive.
Right.
Well, so getting back to the heat that fear can put off.
Right.
It is, I believe, you know, more of an intense energy than love is. So the heat and the energy that's put off may be easier to see with your equipment.
Well, yeah, because that's basically what infrared picks up is heat, and but fear. One of the things that comes to mind, and this is an old political strategy, is that you can control people in a political system much better with fear than anything else. I mean, Hitler got that figured out.
Well, he kind of ran the whole gamut. Sure, he kept people afraid.
Sure.
So he also inspired people. He put
right.
huge shows with music and lights and fire and.
Well, that was all the flash out in front. You know, that was the show. But behind it, it's kind of like the mafia. The mafia is based on fear.
Right. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And see, that's a dragon organization. You know, by its very nature.
Well, I understand what you mean there. We are going to take a short break, 6 or 7 minutes, and then we'll be right back with more of D.G. Allen. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio, so don't go away. And by the way, please tune in on the AOL Instant Messenger. My name is Vision Officer. We'll be back after these messages. There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the six-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today. Many people write us here at X Squared Radio wanting to know how to get prepared for the coming cataclysms. Well, we have been successful in acquiring the best affiliate in the world for emergency preparedness. NitroPak has been around for 18 years and can provide everything you need for life. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a year's supply of excellent quality foods and supplements for a single person or whole family. Don't be left without the essentials of life. NitroPak is the name. Click the banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared.
OvernightPrints.com is your new source for business cards, postcards, and brochures. The best card stock on earth, easy-to-use online ordering tools, and overnight delivery available. Click on the OvernightPrints.com banner, and don't forget to use the X-squared code for an extra 10% off and free shipping. Come on, these are world-class business cards at your fingertips. Stop waiting for 2 weeks and paying over $100 for second-rate business cards. Get action fast, as low as $9.95 at OvernightPrints.com. Chances are you own an inkjet printer. They're very cheap to buy, but those supplies can be outrageous. How about clicking on the 123 inkjet banner at X Squared Radio? Very inexpensive supplies, free shipping, and a chance to win a free printer every time you buy. Now, how cool is that? Check out 123 inkjet at x2-radio.com. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions from the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now before our very eyes? Who were the Shining Ones who lived on the Earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysms? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two in the series that is sweeping the world with its message. Go to ArkOfMillionsOfYears.com. Get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version.
Welcome back to X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. Yes, we are coming to you live from deep beneath the earth in western Kentucky. And my AccuWindow forecast says it's about 75 degrees outside, and humidity is about twice that, at least 150%. Keeps falling out of the sky as rain from time to time. My guest tonight is Dr. D.G. Allen, who's a former clinical psychologist. He's developed a method of measuring 23 energy junctions in the human body that are feedback systems, indicators, roadmaps, speedometer dials for what's going on inside the body. And he's been able to develop a feedback system and a treatment to be able to fix or unblock these heat centers in the body where energy gets blocked up inside of you. I also want to go ahead and tell you that we're going to open the phone lines tonight. Let's go ahead and get those out. Anywhere in the U.S., toll-free, 877-876-5227. That's toll-free, U.S., 877-876-5227. In Canada, we haven't forgotten about you. You can call in toll-free, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. Anywhere else, on planet or off planet, if you can reach a cell phone tower, you can get to us with 530-876-3222. 876-3222, area code 530. There in Paradise, California, where the BBS radio studios are located. We are part of the BBS Radio Network, proud members of it. I also wanted to give you an update on the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition. We met with two more producers this last week. Very successful meetings by any stretch of the imagination. The team is being pulled together, and we're about to, I believe, interview with the director. That is going to be a major hurdle right there. If we can bring that on board, then we've got the entire team that we need, and then in January we'll start paring down our applicants to the top 120 people. 100 people will go with us. We'll have 20 alternates. The scope and breadth of this expedition are going to be amazing. And I know there's lots and lots of people, especially the ones that I have met out on the road when I've been talking about this the last year. There are thousands of people waiting for the results of this expedition. And as you know, we did quite well in Japan in May of this year when the Japanese version of our preliminary documentary about the hypothesis that the Earth might be hollow won the Genes of Galileo Award from Nippon Television Network. It was very nice. It was a good way to validate that the 17 million Japanese are very excited about the idea that somebody is finally going to the North Pole to see if the Earth is hollow or not. Not that we're advocating it, but we're certainly going to explore to find out if it is or not. And you also want to get a hold of us, you can get to use the AOL Instant Messenger. Again, my name is Vision Officer, and we take text input from people throughout the night, and that gives us questions that we can ask directly from you to them without you coming on the telephone and risking the world hearing your voice on Expert Radio. But we really don't want you to be afraid. Call in, because we enjoy hearing from you. All right. Dean, are you still there?
Yes, still here.
All right, all right. We're going to take a left-hand turn here,
okay.
And I'm going to ask a few questions that maybe you have gotten an answer from in your experience in the clinic with people, talking to people and listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked to several psychologists who this category opens up and they kind of drop check marks into it, but they rarely follow up on it, and this is going to be one of the times we're going to follow up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the first question. Is Earth our permanent home?
Well, I'm not sure I am much of an authority on that. It's our permanent home for now, let's say.
I got you. So you mean if we aren't from here, or maybe when we leave here, are we going somewhere else?
Well, I'm not sure that there is an end, so to speak. I think that, at least in my view, I think we continue to evolve into higher and higher and lighter states of being. And as we do that, our consciousness shifts with it because we become more conscious or more aware of a bigger picture of not only who we are and how we function, but how the whole universe works. And what I've come to realize is that really comes down to energy. And so by understanding energy, and in my work, it's energy having to do with the specific organs, which are the same in every single human. But I think that, you know, the picture way beyond that is still about energy, and I think that's really what consciousness is becoming more and more conscious on more and more refined levels as to what energy is and how it operates.
Huh, interesting. So consciousness and energy, obviously tied together, but it's been kind of a flitting butterfly for most
sciences.
And now it seems as though it's becoming more real. Well, the reason I'm going on this particular tack is because you know, I kind of look at the Earth right now. We got, what, 6.9 billion people living on the Earth, more than, at least by our records, than have ever lived on this planet before.
Right.
And going along with your comment that, you know, we never end, we just continue going, do you think we live many times on a given world?
I think we do, yes.
So when a world dies, where can the soul go who lived there?
Well, it depends on which form they're in. If they're in a physical form, why, that's probably not going to go. But if you've evolved to another form, which is more just an energy base, then it's more or less unlimited. You can go anywhere you want to go.
Okay, so if you go to another world, like, say, Earth, is it common for people to feel displaced or not able to assume, you know, the role of a normal, what's normal, the role of an unblocked-up human? You know, do you find people that feel like they're not from here?
Well, if you look at that from a consciousness point of view, I'm sure that energy and the laws of energy are pretty much the same throughout the universe.
Yes.
And so I'm sure that it's not going to make much difference where you are, because you will still be operating within those laws of how energy actually works and operates. And I think what evolution, at least consciousness evolution, is about is becoming more conscious of more and more refined levels and operations of energy.
Huh. Well, I know when people go seeking in this life, when their consciousness, it comes alive, and I don't know, maybe 8 years old, 10 years old, sometimes 16 years old, they get this urge to seek light or to
right.
figure out how to turn on the light inside of them.
Right.
How do you help people have this light awakening without falling into the religion machine?
Well, first of all, they have to be motivated, and that seems to kind of have to come from them. I'm not sure that you can do much more. What I tell people is I can shine light on the path, but they have to walk it. And what I find is that dragons are not interested in walking the path of light. They're much more interested in hiding in darkness. And they may choose to cover themselves with something that looks like light if they're really powerful dragons. But the dragon itself, its very nature is not to be attracted to the light.
So not all people prefer the light. Some people prefer fear and darkness.
Well, if their decisions are controlled by the dragon, definitely.
Now, is this dragon an actual entity, or is it a condition?
It's an energy, and the best analogy that I can come up with is literally the black holes in the universe. And even though nobody has ever seen a black hole, physics, the hardest science there is, still believes in black holes. And the reason they believe in black holes is not because they can see them, but because they can measure their effects. And the same is true of the dragons in the human system. You can't see them, but you can see their effects. And their effects are disease, disorder, dysfunction, and degeneration, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually.
Mm. Well, I know we are in this fight or this battle all the time as human beings here on this earth. Trying to win this battle is one of the toughest things that we
right.
face in mortality. And this battle is the battle between fear and love. And
right.
You're hearing about it more and more, Because people are kind of picking up on the buzzwords. But,
right.
And unfortunately, in this genre, there is no end to the self-help books.
Right.
Candles, colors, sounds, music, oh my gosh, you name it. But there is very few, there's very few technologies out there.
Right.
That have a tendency, or at least the capability or potential, to help someone win this battle, or at least get a leg up on it, at least crack the wall open. And I believe you're right. I believe it is past traumas, be it in this life, be it in a chromosomal history, or in a reincarnated history, that we bring forward with us, that blocks us up over and over again. We keep making the same mistakes over and again. But, you know, in some lifetimes we luck out and meet somebody that really helps us with it. In others, we don't.
Right.
So I want to know more about your technology. What do you call the technology?
The Body Talker.
The Body Talker. Okay.
And I call it that because it allows your body to talk to you about how it is experiencing your life.
That's interesting. Now, does someone sit on the other side of a curtain and read the light?
No.
How does it work?
It's really nothing more than an infrared scanner that measures heat from specific points on the face.
Oh, really? And, so you don't, like, wire the body up?
Oh, no. Don't even touch the body.
From the toes to the earlobes.
Right.
Just the face.
Just the face. And on the face, there is a matrix. In fact, the entire human body is made up of many different matrices. And each matrix is a series of points, or what we call force vector points, where the electrical energy from specific organs and glands flows through those points.
That's interesting. Now, infrared, for those of you out there who don't know the spectra of light, infrared is not visible to the naked eye. It would take a very, very well-trained eye to be able to see heat. But the wavelength is too long for the rods and cones in your eyes to be excited by it. So when you look at someone's face and think that you can, with your eyes, read how everything is going on inside of them, you're just fooling yourself. Don't have the biological capability, but this Body Talker apparently has the ability to read the face. And now, is this a camera? Does it put an image?
Yeah, it's a scanner, and it's basically infrared input. So it doesn't put anything out. It only receives what's coming off of your body.
Oh, interesting. So really no observation effect whatsoever.
Right.
All right, so it puts it up on a computer screen or a TV?
Well, no. What it does, it runs it through a software program, and the software program analyzes all the points. There's basically 23 points on the face, each of which is the junction point for the flow of energy for three or four specific organs. And then each organ is connected to three or four points. And then the software program sorts all of that out and sequences it into a numerical language that is your cellular computer's programming code for how your system is maintaining homeostasis or electromagnetic balance in order to stay alive.
All right. Well, let's just start at the bottom and work our way up. We've got a typical person who comes into your facility, and they're just locked down in fear. They haven't gone anywhere. They don't feel good. They're dysfunctional. They can't hold a job. They can't have relationships. They walk into your business, and they're locked down in fear. What is it that your equipment would
do? Yeah, okay. First of all, that's not the kind of client that shows up.
Oh.
The kind of client that shows up for me, and this is the way I explain this, which is the only thing that I can think of, is the dragon always knows. And if the dragon's in control, and all of those things that you mentioned are basically dragon symptoms, And if a person is consumed by those, that's not the kind of client that I usually see.
Uh-huh.
The kind of client that I usually see are basically what we would call wellness-oriented people. In other words, they're well enough to know that they want to be better.
Gotcha.
And so I don't see people that have really severe symptoms. They just don't show up. And but I do get people that will have, you know, specific issues and things, but for the most part, they're relatively high-level functioning people.
Okay, so they're sensitive enough to their own rhythms, their own light quantity.
Right.
That they know either something's wrong or they want to go to a higher level.
Right, exactly.
So somebody that's on, who realizes that they want to go to the higher level and they're trying, is your equipment capable of capturing a human, light being, merging his or her light essence with higher dimensional beings like a Christ?
No, all it really shows is how much drag is on certain circuits between certain organs and glands. And, of course, as we've talked about, there's 23 organ-gland energy systems. And when you do the binomial permutations, in other words, the two-way circuits between every organ and every other organ of 23 organs, you get 253 binomial circuits or two-way circuits. Those 253 circuits is basically what we're monitoring. And those 253 circuits represent all human powers and all human problems, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So that's what I get from the readout, is what those circuits, which of those circuits are blocked and how badly they're blocked. That also shows up so that I know whether it's something that is rather acute or whether it's chronic. I can tell from the measurement whether that's the case. And then all I do is use that information to feed back to them and connect the dots between their programming and their major complaints. And
right. The
result is what I call ahas. In other words, they begin to see how specific decisions that they're making, and the problem decisions will be what I call dragon decisions. And so they will begin to shine light on their dragon decisions that are usually old, familiar decisions that they learned in childhood in a dependent environment where they had no choice. And they were in a situation that they couldn't change or escape. And so they took on these dragons in order to survive that dependency when they had no power. And then that became a habit. And it became very familiar. And the functional response just completely went out the window. And so the only thing that's familiar to them in terms of specific organ behavior is what I call the dragon behavior. And we can go into a particular organ if that would help make it more clear at this point.
Well, yeah. I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is you shall know them by their fruits. That you get
right.
Dragon behavior, it gets even more self-evident that something's wrong there. But
right. Well, let's take a specific organ that we can really kind of go through an example with, like the adrenals, for example. The adrenals are your power organ. And what they are designed to do energetically and emotionally is to meet pressure with equal and opposite pressure in such a way that you can resolve conflict with feelings of pride and empowerment. Now, that's what the adrenals are designed to do naturally. However, if you grow up as a child in an environment where you, say, have an overpowering parent who overpowers you, and you don't have any power because you're the dependent child, then in order to survive and adapt to that environment, you have to take on what we call an adrenal dragon. And what the adrenal dragon does is create a drag on the expression of the adrenals, so that you realize you don't have any power and you have an overpowering parent, so you create a drag on your power because to express your power would be dangerous.
Yeah, I think I understand what that means.
Yeah.
You and we have this too in our workplaces too, when you have it over.
Sure. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Especially women who work for men, or in some cases men who work for men, and the man who is in charge is
right.
is very emotional and expects you to adjust to his mood.
Right, exactly. Same thing.
You know,
and
so,
what's really interesting about that is the people that fall into these positions are pre-programmed. In other words, you have, we'll continue our story here. You have a parent who is overpowering to you, so you learn how to create a drag on your power so that you can adapt to that environment that you can't change or escape. And you do that for, say, 20 years or 15 years. And after you do it that long, it becomes so familiar, you don't know how to meet pressure with pressure in such a way that you, and you certainly had no practice. So you're pretty dysfunctional in terms of adrenal behavior.
You just sort of bend like the willow tree.
Right, exactly. And so now you get out of that environment. You no longer have the overpowering father. What kind of a relationship and what kind of a job do you think this person is going to walk right into?
Well, they're probably going to find an overpowering husband.
Right, and an
overpowering boss. Right.
And then that's the second level of this problem. And see, what has happened is they have responded to the present, or I should say reacted to the present, as if it was the past, which then will recreate your past in your present. So see, that's exactly what they've done. They've replaced the overpowering father with an overpowering mate and an overpowering boss.
Huh.
And it looks normal to them. They think that's the way the whole world is.
Yeah. I can see that. And if you look at it from the other way, the overpowering boss is always used to having people who will not resist.
Right, exactly.
Won't stand up to him and tell him where to get off.
Exactly.
Wrong. And when someone does hire in who says, pardon me, but you've been putting that on backwards all these years, this is the way it's supposed to go, he immediately turns around and fires that person.
Right, exactly.
Because now here's someone who's strong and
right.
can actually correct the problem, and that's not what he's looking for.
Exactly.
Oh, now, this is really getting good. So, now, you have this machine, and what do? You put your face down into it, or you...
No, it's actually, I hold it in my hand. It's kind of like think of it as a small flashlight.
Oh, okay.
And it's connected to a box that processes, and then that box is connected to a computer, which is where the software is that analyzes the data.
So you have 23 specific points that you're going to
right, and so
in order.
On the computer, what comes up is the image of a face and a particular point on that face. And so I just take this little flashlight, hold it on that point about a half inch off of the face, and push a key on the keyboard and the computer, and it buzzes and takes an image off of that point for about, I think it's 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I move to the next point.
Huh. Okay.
And I do all 23 of the points, and then I get the information off of that.
Very interesting. And so you go in order, 1 through 23. You know what to point the flashlight at next. And then it records that information, and then when you get finished, you process the software.
Right.
And it will tell you which organ systems or which junctions have an inordinate amount of heat compared to
right.
the baseline.
Right. And then because I know the language, I know what that means. For example, using this adrenal thing. If I see a backup on this adrenal organ, I know that this person has been programmed somehow, somewhere, to not feel safe meeting pressure with pressure in such a way that they can resolve conflict with feelings of pride. And sure enough, when I start asking them, it'll go back to some overpowering trauma experience in their life.
Hmm. All right. Now, what happens when you resolve this, when you go back to that point and you talk through it and they realize that there's really nothing to be afraid of, that there's no reason to be fearful?
Right.
Can they replace this fear energy with love energy?
Yes, they can. First of all, they have to become conscious of what they're doing, and it's probably helpful and usually very apparent to them to see that they are, that they've been through this kind of programming and that they didn't feel safe ever doing that with their father or mother or whoever it was. And so they see, yes, that's true. You know, these are what I call ahas.
Uh-huh.
And
like that.
Yeah, right. And so they see that, and then they see in their life in the present, you know, with their mate or with their boss, that this is exactly what they're doing. They're doing the same thing that they did with their parent.
So
and
how do you stop a chronic problem? How do you?
Basically, like I say, I shine light on their path, and they have to walk it. Now, what I do is I do coaching with them.
Uh-huh.
So I will coach them because, for the most part, the behavior that they need to express in order to get energy to go through their adrenals is totally foreign to them. They can't imagine doing it. They don't feel safe doing it. They don't feel familiar doing it. They've never done it, and so you really have to start off coaching them. And when you first tell them what it is that they need to do, they look at you like, you must be kidding.
Yeah, right, I can see that.
But once they realize that, you know, this is really how the game works, and if they really want to solve whatever that problem is, and of course, physically, these adrenal issues will result in energy problems. In other words, they will just be exhausted.
Right. All right, so this is a process of raising what we call the consciousness of
right.
the human being.
Right.
Now, I hear this, it's almost a buzzword in
right.
the genre. You raise
yeah.
your consciousness by listening to this music. Where
right.
raise your consciousness by painting your room this color,
right.
having this aroma on
right.
your nose, or better yet, raise your consciousness by coming to this workshop.
Right.
Let's do some definition work here. What does it mean to raise the consciousness of a human being?
Well, what it means from where I sit is raising the consciousness on specific organ functions, because after all, a human being is nothing more than a composition of their 23 organ gland energy system. That's 100% of who they are. So,
well, I would think that you're talking about permutations. 23 factorial gives you an incredible number of combinations. Of people, I don't know.
Well, I'm just talking about their 23 organ functions. In other words, if all of their organ functions were safe and free and clear to express themselves spontaneously the way that they're already programmed, you would have a highly functioning individual who would be very conscious.
All right. Now, when we say conscious, a lot of times We talk about being conscious and unconscious. Do we make decisions in both ways?
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right, so if we make a conscious decision, that means we sort of, we're awake, we've weighed all the facts, and we've decided this is what we're going to do based on all the evidence. But
right.
Even that decision might be made consciously, you're saying, based on these chronic
right.
Energy patterns that you're
right.
bringing forward with you.
Right. Right. And that's where the problem always is that energy basically doing what I call spinning backwards. And that will result in manifest as disease, disorder, dysfunction, and degeneration. First of all, mentally, in terms of how we think. Second of all, emotionally, because the mental will program the energetic or the emotional, or that's where the word emotion comes from, is energy motion. And emotional dysfunction is where the energy is blocked from motion or flowing.
Okay, I can see that.
And then, if that persists long enough, it'll manifest into a physical degeneration of the organ from lack of energy flow through it.
Aha. Uh-huh. So now what have you seen relative to that? I mean, are we talking about liver, pancreas, kidney?
Every single organ, yes.
Oh,
all of them.
All right. So this process of raising the consciousness of a human being, is this a process of raising the frequency, the vibrational frequency of that person, or are we talking?
Well, I think that's the effect in the end. I think the first step, and certainly from where I sit, it's just being able to make clear decisions quicker in relation to the input from each of the organs and glands. In other words, using this adrenal example, it's being able, first of all, to discriminate this feeling of being overpowered. And see, the person who's been overpowered their whole life is completely desensitized to that feeling that they would have had before they were ever overpowered. In other words, the first time they were overpowered, if a person has never been overpowered before, the first time they're overpowered, it'll be an overwhelming experience.
Oh, I imagine, sure. Hey, that hurts.
Right. But if they've been overpowered for 15 years... and then they get a mate or a boss that overpowers them, they won't even notice.
Right.
So, consequently, they have lost their power in relation to their adrenals. And the only thing that's going to give them power and give them more consciousness is, first of all, realizing how the game works, how it applies to them, and then coaching them through that one step at a time. But once they do it the first time, they many times will get a tremendous charge from it. In other words, they will go, wow, I stood up to him and I said this and I got what I wanted.
Yeah, that's great.
And from that point on, see, it becomes easier. And also now they're into it. And every single organ has a scenario just like that.
How about that? All right, so the rising consciousness is a byproduct of being able to get these energy junctions to actually flow.
Right.
You block them so they'll flow.
Exactly.
So a flowing person, a person who is flowing energy well in all 23 of these areas.
Right.
Is well on the road to sovereignty.
Right.
Wow. You know, I just see lots of people that I could send for that.
Well, my opinion is it applies to everyone on the planet. Now, whether or not they're aware enough to be able to, you know, appreciate that and actually do it is probably a different question, but... as far as everybody needing it, I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, alphabetically speaking, of course, I would be the first on the list. Well, I tell people that I did graduate first in my class, alphabetically.
Right. Yes.
Your last name starts with Agnew. You always sit in the front row, so you get you get.
Yes. Better. Well, you were ahead of me.
Yeah. Exactly. It was those Adams guys and Abbott.
Yeah, I hated those guys.
Oh man, it was in the back of the head. So I can see this, and I can see maybe even an individual using this piece of equipment on themselves for some kind of, you know, just kind of a feedback check. Hey, you know, this is the way I feel, or
right.
But that may not be reality. It may be unconscious to me at this moment what is blocked up. So what kind of, other than coming in and having questions asked and answered or some kind of coaching, what other things can people do to make the shift toward making more conscious decisions and away from having these unconscious self-destructive behaviors pop up?
Well, what I do, I've developed a process with this that works very well, and that is that each session that I do with a person ends with what I call a lesson or a consciousness experience or exercise that they are assigned to do daily from that session until the next session, which is usually 2 to 3 weeks. And during that time, their assignment is to become more, the first step of it is to become more conscious of how whatever issue came up in their session that day as being very related to what their issue and their problem and what they're trying to deal with, to become conscious of how that issue shows up one day at a time in their life. And then at the end of the day, ask themselves this question. If this same situation were to happen tomorrow, how could I respond to it differently than I did today that would be more in alignment with raising my consciousness and gaining my personal power? And so basically what they do, and of course they will know how to do this because of what we've talked about in the session, they will rewrite or reframe that experience and go through it in their mind. In other words, this situation that happened today, I'm not very happy about how I did it. How would I like to do it tomorrow if the same thing happened? So I'll go through it in my mind and reframe it in a completely different way than I did it today. And, of course, the reason I did it that way today is out of habit. And what I'm trying to build in by going through this exercise in my mind is memory, so that tomorrow, when that same thing happens and I reach that fork in the road, that I will have a different choice.
Sure.
And then the challenge becomes one of becoming conscious enough, quick enough, in the moment, that you can make that different choice and perform it.
Well, now that makes sense. And you could pick this up with the camera, in the sense that the camera's looking at infrared, which is somewhere around 1,050 nanometers in wavelength.
Right.
And this person is raising their consciousness, which, in effect, from a physics point of view, is raising the frequency, which is shortening the wavelength. That means that the light becomes higher energy. It burns a little brighter, but it also puts off less heat in
that
your instrument will pick up. So what we're talking about here is not someone going dark or going cold so that the infrared sensor can't pick it up. We're talking about people making a shift more toward the blue, more toward the green, away from the longer red wavelength. And so is this what we're talking about? Are we raising the frequency of the light in the person at these 23 places?
Well, you're raising it in the organs where you're expressing the feelings of that organ. See, that's really what pulls the energy through and raises the consciousness is expression pulls the energy through the organ. Suppression spins the energy and blocks the energy within the organ and raises the heat.
Uh-huh. Hence the analogy to the dragon.
Right, exactly.
In ancient symbology, they call it the Ouroboros, the dragon that eats its own tail.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I've seen that.
Never-ending cycle repeating itself over.
Right, exactly.
Disasters repeat themselves. And so that's a very good analogy.
Right. And, of course, what this comes down to is consciousness as the only elegant solution, because it's the only thing that gives you a different choice. Without that, you don't have a choice. You just
do what
the dragon has always done.
Right, right. And so people sort of feel predestined to do things.
Right.
They talk about the powers that be, or they talk about, I guess it wasn't meant to be, or I'm always meant to fail, or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
They have these patterns that they voice out in frustration. And I've heard some of my friends. I've been out on tour, and I've heard them vent about this dichotomy they just can't seem to overcome. And I just have to sit there and say, gee, I wish Dr. Allen was here, because he could put his machine on him and find out how things block. So what can be expected to happen to a person as this consciousness frequency rises?
Well, they'll be able to make clearer decisions quicker and express them more effectively, efficiently, and productively, so that they create what they want.
And by create, you mean manifest.
Manifesting power. Well, see, everything comes down to decisions. And that's really what we're talking about, is the ability to make clear decisions quicker in relation to each of the organs and glands. For example, going back to our adrenal example, the first thing you've got to do is notice that you're being overpowered. And then realize that in order to get out of this scenario, you have to meet pressure with equal and opposite pressure if you're ever going to have any hope of getting out of it. Now, you don't know how it's going to turn out, but that's not what you're supposed to be focused on. Well, unless you're in a survival situation, and then you're right back into the old pattern.
Sure.
But see, that's why consciousness is so difficult, because you, in order to really be conscious, you have to be able to, make that decision. Let me bring something up here that I think is very relevant to this. My background is psychology, of course. And one of the things that I focused on for a period of time in my psychological training was the psychology of learning. And when you plot learning on a graph where the vertical axis is learning and the horizontal axis is the amount of time between the stimulus and the response, and you do it within a tenth of a second, what happens is when you plot it, in one-tenth of a second, you'll get, just looking at a small graph, we'll get 1 inch worth of learning. In other words, it'll go up on the vertical axis about an inch. Two-tenths of a second, it'll go 2 inches. Three-tenths of a second, it'll go, 4 inches. Four-tenths, it'll go 4, and five-tenths, it'll go peak out, clear to the top. Six-tenths of a second, learning starts dropping. Seven-tenths, dropping even more. Eight-tenths, nine-tenths. Within a couple of seconds, you've lost most of the learning. And so what this translates to is, if you want maximum power, you have to be able to be clear and responsive within about five-tenths of a second. And if you look at people who are in positions of power and maintain it and are doing really well, every one of them will be doing this. Because that's what power is. And so what we're always focusing on is getting the person to the point where they can use all 23 of their organs to make clear, quick, appropriate decisions and actions that are performed in such a way that they'll be effective and productive.
Now that makes a lot of sense. I can see that. That is more scientific psychology than
right.
I have seen done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. You have a very ready feedback system. Decisions that are made quicker, you learn from better.
Right.
The longer that you take to make a decision, the less retention there is from it. This is pretty
right.
amazing.
Right.
It's really good. You know, I've heard many times the masters taking their subjects on journeys to see far times and places, only to bring them back to lead the dimensionally blind on to their highest potential.
Right.
And I see this process as the ability to put the average person on a path to life.
Right.
And this is really remarkable.
Well, it's the only thing that got me back into psychology, because I had already quit and left after spending basically 20 years from the beginning of my higher education until the end of my PhD. And with all of that and all the learning I got and another 10 years trying to use it, I quit because I was getting more and more depressed with every client.
So you were dragging them down as you started lifting them up.
Well, I didn't have anything to give them. And since I've been doing this, especially more recently when I've gotten better at it, I end up with the most incredible clients in the world. And second of all, it's a very uplifting, inspiring experience, because I'm talking to people about things that they really connect with, and they really understand it, and they see how it relates to them, especially when they start doing it and practicing it.
Uh-huh. Wow. That is completely amazing. I'm trying to get back to the technological end of this. You ran into this technology, and what? It inspired you to get back into the psychological business, into coaching people and helping people, because...
Well, it gave me a tool that did what it was I was there to do. In other words, what my job in psychology really is about is teaching people the game that they're forced to play, whether they know the rules or not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, by being forced to play, we don't mean that we're dumped into this mortality with a set of rules and no rule book. Yes, there are laws in the universe, but we don't want people to think that that their life is put in automatic and they don't have any decision-making power in it, that they're just handed a mortal life and there's nothing that they can do.
Right. They will have as much control over it as they have consciousness.
Interesting. And the ability to raise one's consciousness does not necessarily rest with a guru. It may rest
no.
with the individual themselves.
Absolutely.
And we have the whole indicating map right on our face.
Right.
All we
right.
have to do is take a look at it. And
right.
We just need some special equipment to be able to look at it, and we'll have it.
Right.
Wow. Wow. So now, where are you located?
I'm located in southern Idaho.
Southern Idaho. Well, that's pretty central to the West.
Uh-huh.
How do people get a hold of you or get a hold of your body talker?
Well, my website is probably the quickest way that most people can get a hold of me, and the website is ahacountryspa.com, and that's spelled A-H-H-A-double-H, countryspa.com. And my telephone numbers and everything are on there, so they can reach me through that.
Well, that is fantastic. All right, well, we're going to take a real short break, another 6 minutes or so, and we'll be right back. My guest is D.G. Allen. We're talking about technology that reads the face, ties into 23 organ systems, and gives direct feedback as to the flow of energy in the human body. Leads on to higher consciousness. We'll be back after these messages with more X Squared Radio. Don't go away.
OpenEyePrints.com is your new source for business cards, postcards, and brochures. The best card stock on earth, easy to use online ordering tools, and overnight delivery available. Click on the OpenEyePrints.com banner, and don't forget to use the X Squared code for an extra 10% off and free shipping. Come on, these are world-class business cards at your fingertips. Stop waiting for 2 weeks and paying over $100 for second-rate business cards. Get action fast, as low as $9.95 at OpenEyePrints.com. The foundations of religion and science were used to restore knowledge lost for over 6,000 years in our first book. The Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 2, called 2012 and Harvest of the End Times, brings us vital knowledge for the race of mankind. Have the Watchers returned? What did the Aztecs mean by their ancient predictions for the year 2012? Why is Earth changing so rapidly now before our very eyes? Who were the Shining Ones who lived on the Earth and worked with mankind as they recovered from cataclysms? Who are we? Where did we come from? If you could find a book that answers just one of these questions, you'd buy it. Now there are two of a series that is sweeping the world with its message. Go to arcofmillionsofyears.com and get your autographed copy today. Now, also available in full audio version. Chances are you own an inkjet printer. They're very cheap to buy, but those supplies can be outrageous. How about clicking on the 123 Inkjet banner at X Squared Radio? Very inexpensive supplies, free shipping, and a chance to win a free printer every time you buy. Now, how cool is that? Check out 123 Inkjet at x2-radio.com. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
Care of the rest. We're glad to have you back with us. Here in western Kentucky, deep beneath the earth, my AccuWindow forecast says it's now down into the 70s, so that's good. It's one of the few times we've been at that temperature range in a while out here. My guest is D.G. Allen, Ph.D. He is using a technology called the Body Talker to gain infrared feedback from the human face to allow him to at least have an indicator of what's going on inside that person, one of 23 or one or more of the 23 energy junctions in the human body that get blocked up, and the heat stacks up and shows up on the camera, and then he can he knows where to go to help you out. Well, one of the subjects that comes up on this program quite often, almost every week, but certainly every month, is the subject of 2012. There is a strange collective anxiety out there about, here we are in 2007, 2012 is coming up. There's certainly no shortage of books or radio programs or even movies. You're going to see movies coming out about it now, about what's coming up in 2012, one cataclysm or another. And people are getting excited about it, and they're getting some anxiety about it, because apparently the crux of the idea of 2012 for the Earth is that we're going to start a new age, the age of Aquarius. We're leaving the age of Pisces. We're going to be in the galactic center. There are lots of shifts that may occur on our planet, polar shifts and even spiritual shifts. And we're beginning to feel that shift of spirit in our society, not just in our society, but on our Earth. All peoples are feeling this incredible energy that's being poured over the Earth right now, and they're reacting to it in different ways. Some people are raising their consciousness, increasing in love. We see generally spiritual communities. I'm not just going to say churches, but also people who meditate, people who star watch, people who enjoy uplifting music. They seem to be gaining in force and energy and community and synchronicity, we call it. Others are resisting this. So they may be more the dragon types. They prefer the darkness and fear. They thrive on it. They've been using it for their whole lives, and maybe, as it turns out, numerous lives, to generate and feed off of this kind of energy. And they see us flower children or people who are want to turn a cheek and forgive as easy victims. So I guess my question for you, Dean, is, as we come closer to the 2012 schism of spirituality on our planet, it ostensibly means that the two Earths, a spirit Earth and a temporal Earth, a higher energy Earth and a lower energy Earth, are going to split. They're going to divide. They're going to head for different places in the universe, as it were. Those individuals that can resonate at the higher frequency will go on with the spirit Earth, and those who cannot will stay with the lower one. There'll be a division.
Right.
Your equipment, is it, let me just jump into it with both feet. We have barely an hour left. What are you seeing with people coming to you saying, look, I feel okay, but I really want to make sure that I'm going with this higher group? How do I go about that? Are you seeing that?
Well, what I'm seeing is... And of course, this is what the Mayan calendar is really all about. It's a calendar of the quickening. And what that really means is that things are speeding up. In other words, we've got to process more information more clearly and more quickly in order just to stay even.
Well, yeah, but we ostensibly are light beings dropped into three-dimensional form. So all we have is touch and taste and smell and eyesight and hearing, and maybe what other senses
right.
we can awaken or have some intuition for. So we're greatly limited from our original form. And we have about 223 genes, most of which is not activated. So we're greatly limited in what we can do, and we get stuck. So,
exactly.
You know, how do we rise to the challenge of the quickening?
Well, that is the challenge, and that is definitely the question of these times. And what I see is more and more people who are becoming more and more aware of that. And if they're not directly aware of it, for the most part, they're very much indirectly aware of it, because they realize in their life that they're having to process more things more quickly and more effectively in order just to stay even.
All right. How do people process more quickly, Trey?
Well, by making clear decisions that will create what they want instead of get them off track and maintain or create what they don't want. And, of course, what I see that as being is just understanding the laws of energy, and specifically those laws of energy as it relates to each one of their organs and glands. Because each organ and gland is designed to discriminate certain aspects of their life and provide that input so that the person can consciously become aware of it and then use that as an expression of output and do that within 5/10 of a second in order to have maximum power. Mm. And people who have power all do that, because that's what power is.
And the equipment, the body talker, helps us how to recognize what to process.
Right, exactly. It pinpoints.
Right, because if we don't have a problem with it, then we don't have energy built up in that area. We're flowing about
exactly
the flow. But if we have a hot spot like the adrenals or like our kidneys or something,
right,
then we know through your process. We recognize what needs to be addressed.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit more about the laws of energy. You've mentioned that several times tonight. Let's see if we can expand on that a little bit.
Okay. The main way that I'm talking about that when I mention that is really in relation to the organs and glands. And different organs and glands will have different issues. So let's maybe choose a different organ, maybe the stomach. The stomach is primarily associated with nurturance. And the traumas of the stomach are having to survive in an environment where there's no nurturance. And when you do that, in order to survive, what you do is you take on a stomach dragon. And the stomach dragon will allow you to survive short term with little or no nurturance, but it will create a long term problem, which usually manifests as stomach and digestive problems. And the reason that the digestive problems manifest is because there's a drag on the energy flow through the organ. And so the law of energy as it applies to the stomach is, first of all, to be able to discriminate what's nurturing and what's not nurturing. And if you've grown up in an environment where there was no nurturing and you've done that for a long time, The first problem that you have to deal with is that you don't even notice when you're not being nurtured.
Yeah, exactly right.
So yeah, that's the first law of energy there. In other words, you've got to be able to notice that. And see, when I do a scan on a person and I see a big block or a block circuit associated with the stomach, and many times if I talk to these people about nurturance or not being nurturance, they really don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because they've never seen it before.
Right. But when I start asking them more details about their life, it becomes very obvious to me that they're not being nurtured.
Hmm.
So my first job is to get them to notice and create what I call contrast. In other words, the first thing that I try and get them to do is experience something or remember something where they actually felt nurtured.
Wow. Yeah.
And then they go, oh, yeah.
And then the first thing they notice is now their stomach.
Right. And now they become more conscious of when and where and how and who is either nurturing or not nurturing.
Well, getting back to this 2012 thing, this may be a date of ascension.
Uh-huh.
And by ascension, I don't mean everybody's going to die and go to heaven, but I mean we can create heaven here on earth. I mean that
right. The
spirit actually makes a shift.
Right.
So you're saying that if you have all 23 organs clear, energy is flowing as well as it can be flowing with your individual intelligence.
Right.
You are more apt to ascend like others who have done it, like Christ or like
exactly.
others. You'll be more Christ-like.
Exactly.
Wow, that is very powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. One of my IMers sent in a question. He wants to know if you have heard about people being less social and becoming more like hermits due to this energy shift, as in stuck and catching up, so they try to figure it out alone. I think that's a good question.
Well, isolation is basically the nature of the dragon. So that's what the dragon wants to do. The dragon basically doesn't trust anybody. And its greatest function is to survive with no help. And that's its highest achievement.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to be self-sufficient and say, okay, I can feed myself, I can pay my own bills.
Right.
I have a car that operates, I'm in fairly good health. That's one thing. But to seal yourself off from society, saying, I need no further input, I can get everything I need from books and movies and whatever.
Right.
That's an indication. How do you see that show up with the body talker?
Well, you see it in various organs, because the nature of the dragon, no matter which organ it's associated with, is basically to separate and disconnect and isolate and survive.
Gotcha.
And the problem with that is that energy's nature is completely survival-oriented, and it is impossible and beyond its nature to fulfill. And this is why I tell people you can't go north when you're going south.
Right, but you do meet people from time to time who are afraid of high-energy situations. They prefer, I don't know, maybe they fear exposure, or they fear challenge, or they fear that they don't have enough education or enough work experience or whatever it might be to be part of the group that's going on at the time. But surely you see that indicated in one specific group or a couple of groups as a telltale sign that this is a person who's not.
Well, every organ has an emotion. For example, the adrenals, the emotion is courage. For the stomach, it's happiness, which is the feeling of being nurtured. And so whichever emotional function relates to that, because each one of them could have its own way of isolating itself. For example, the stomach dragon would isolate itself by enduring situations that are not nurturing. And the adrenal dragon would isolate itself by allowing itself to be overpowered and endure it. See, its focus is on surviving being overpowered. It isn't that it likes the overpowering. Its job is to survive it no matter what.
Right. So it may even try just to avoid it.
Right. Exactly.
Well, let's get back to the Mayan calendar thing. You said that you mentioned the Mayan calendar. What particular part of that did you resonate with as you developed your methodology? Did you feel some kind of urgency because of the Mayan calendar?
Well, the Mayan calendar for me ended up explaining a lot of things that I could never really figure out, because I've been in this field for many, many years and heard of the Golden Age and the Age of Aquarius and the New Age that we were going into. But the problem that I always had is that I couldn't figure out how we were going to get there, because it didn't look like that we were really kind of headed in that direction. And once I understood the Mayan calendar and how that really is telling us that energy really works, what I realized is that it's kind of like raising the bar. And the only way that you're going to get to the other side is to be able to keep raising your ability to get over the bar. And the rest of the people are going to have problems with that, because if the quickening, as we call it, is requiring you to make clearer decisions quicker and express them more effectively and productively, and you're not able to do that, well, then it's going to manifest as difficulty.
Well, it seemed like the Mayans went through a lot of extra work building a very complex gatekeeping system, or maybe even manifesting a complex gatekeeping system, which was created a long, long time before them, in order to leave us a message. Look, we may not survive this. We live in a pretty tumultuous geology. We have enemies all around us. I'm sure the Spaniards didn't help things. We want to leave something enduring behind, because when this date comes up, you people need to know something really important is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, what exactly about this Mayan calendar did it explain to you?
Well, it explained to me how the energy really works, and that we, in order to get to the Golden Age, basically what we have to do is get beyond the ways of darkness, so to speak, or the ways of the dragon. And that happens naturally if the universe is constructed in such a way that in order to just stay even with the progression of time or the Mayan calendar, we have to be able to process our life more clearly, quickly, and appropriately. And so that became the big revelation for me, is that that's what it's all about, everything. Because what that does is give you more power, and personal power will get you whatever you want, because you will always be ahead of everyone else, because you're making decisions clearer than they are, quicker than they are, and being able to express them more effectively and productively.
Well, I don't really worry about being ahead of everyone else. Where I want to be is where I have the potential to be. And if I'm behind that potential, if I'm not manifesting the things that I think I have the potential to do, then certainly I want to start clearing obstacles out of the way. And the Mayan calendar, for me anyway, and I hope that many of you listeners are like this out there too, here we are in the latter part of 2007. It doesn't take a great mathematician to figure out we got about 5 years and 3 months and 5 days to get ready for this changing of the calendar. Now, it may be no more eventful than the dropping of the ball in New York on December 21st.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the Earth is going to be in a very unique position in the cosmos.
Right.
Exposed to energies it has not been exposed to for 26,000 years.
Right.
These energies aren't just in the form of little meteorites and dust particles and aurora borealis. These energies are in forms that resonate with the DNA, with the spirit of a person. And I believe, Dean, what you're trying to say is, and certainly correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. is that these inclinations, these intuitions, these, if you want to call them premonitions,
right.
will come to people without definition.
Yes.
And being able to make a decision clearly, quickly, access it, understand it without being blocked up,
right.
is going to be vital.
Yes.
To manifesting what you need to manifest.
Yeah, that's my point right there.
So will we be able to, you know, a lot of people in the higher meditation realms talk about biolocation or bilocation, being able to move the consciousness through space and time to another location. Are we going to be able to do that? We've got this energy path open.
Well, I certainly think that this is going to get us a lot closer to that, and I think the energy of the universe itself is probably going to be more amenable to that. I think that we're reaching a point where it's the separating of the wheat and the chaff, you know, so to speak. In other words, the things that are really who we are spirit, and who we are not. In fact, I refer to the dragon when I talk to clients as the not you.
That's pretty good. I like that in a sense of logic.
Right.
In logic circuits, we talk about you and not you, or and you and or you. And
right.
It has very good logical connotations.
Well, and they see that very clearly, because when they, many people, they even identify it that way, or when you tell them that, they really pick it up, because they feel like that there's an energy in them that is not them. In fact, in the Bible, they call it, or maybe it's other places than that also, but possession. And that's really what happens, is we take on this energy in order to survive a trauma in the moment. And then, once we take it on, we've got it. And it creates its own personality and its own agenda, and if we're not conscious enough to get ahead of it, it will perpetuate itself and continue making decisions from that point of view.
So the dragon is equal to the mortal ego mind?
Pretty much, yeah. I would actually see the ego mind as being a subcategory of the dragon.
Uh-huh, okay. All right, as opposed to if you were flowing and had access, ready access to be able to move your conscious energy through your body any way you choose, effectively and quickly, what would that be? That wouldn't be the ego mind, would it?
Well, it would definitely be power, and I would call it the spirit mind, because that's really where our source of power is. It's our spirit life force energy. In fact, I tell my clients that there's really only one problem that humans have, and that problem is drag on spirit life force energy flow.
I like that. So this you know, we're going to be able to need this ability to move, process, and consciously direct energy.
Exactly.
If we're going to make this move.
Exactly.
Mm. Wow. Okay, we need another 3 hours. I'll just.
Yes, well, hopefully we'll get it some point.
Well, I guess my question is now, what do people need to do? They need to go out and get themselves a body talker, or.
Well, at this point, it's not really out there that much. I'm probably the primary one doing it. I suppose the first thing they can do is contact me, and also I wanted to give my telephone number out, which is I didn't give earlier, which is area code 208-678-6955. So if they would call me, I'd be glad to, you know, deal with them individually and see what they want and where we can go from there.
All right, all right. That's great. I know you don't think anybody's calling in, but I'm just getting hammered by IMs over and over, and it's good. There's a lot of great questions, great thoughts. People are very deep thinkers on this program.
Good.
They just don't like to come on the air. They like to multitask, so they
do. Sure.
And then when something resonates with them, they just open up their IM, jam out a sentence or two, and off it comes to the program, and we try to respond to it as quickly as we can.
Good.
You know, Jesus sort of set a pattern for us. It really didn't matter what you wanted to manifest, as long as it didn't hurt anybody or violate anyone else's free agency.
Right.
For instance, he was approached very early when he comes on in the New Testament to turn water into wine, which he did.
Right.
Now, you might think, gee, wouldn't it be better just to, you know, go down to the local 7-Eleven and buy some wine for the wedding? Why would you turn water into wine? But, be that as it may, it is one of the examples, one of the miracles, as it were, that was put into the Bible for our study and our viewing. So if the master teacher can show us something like that, or walking on water, or bringing people back to life, of course that's kind of a high inspector.
Right.
This is obviously a being who had access to his energy, could flow it easily.
Exactly.
And this is a great example for us. Boy, wouldn't it be neat to go back and do a body talk on him? Then you'd have the calibration curve for everyone, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, and what you would have, I often get this question from audiences that I present to, what would Jesus's chain look like or scan, you know? And my answer is, it may look just like yours today.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But the question, the real question is, what would yours look like tomorrow versus his? And, of course, this measurement reflects health through what we call dynamics. And it's dynamics in these numbers. Each of the organs and glands has a number associated with it, which, interestingly enough, comes from the origin of this system, which is the radiation studies. And what the radiation studies show is that the organs and glands of the body degenerate in a very specific and particular order.
Sure.
In every single case.
Right.
And that order, when you expose humans to intense radiation, it accelerates aging so that you age in minutes and hours, which would normally take years and decades. And that makes it very easy to see this order of the organ degeneration. And that order is where the numbers that we associate with the organs and glands is. And this is the constant. And this is the only thing that makes this system work, is this constant. It's much like Einstein's formula. Einstein's formula wouldn't work if he didn't have a constant. And this system wouldn't work if we didn't have a constant that was true for every single human. And then when we apply an individual's measurements over that constant, it shows where everything is.
Now, some organs can regenerate. For instance, the liver can rebuild, but
right.
kidneys cannot. Once they sustain damage, they never come back past that point of damage.
Right. Right.
I think the adrenal gland also, when it suffers damage, it does not regenerate.
Right. Could be. I'm not familiar with that part. But what I'm talking about is the order, and that's what allows this language that allows us to figure this whole thing out comes from. And it literally creates the same effect that we get from the Rosetta Stone.
Uh-huh.
Because when you look at those markings on tablets without looking at them through the Rosetta Stone, it looks like nothing. You can't make any sense out of it. But when you look at them through the Rosetta Stone, suddenly it becomes a language and words, and you can read it, and it all makes sense. And this constant of this order of organs and glands is what pulls everything together so that we can take an individual reading, lay it over this format, and it shows where all the block circuits are and where all the energy is backing up.
That's interesting. Now, is the thyroid one of these organs?
Yes.
So what does hypothyroid indicate?
Well, the dragons always operate with either too much or not enough energy.
Right.
So hyperthyroid is too much energy. Hypothyroid is not enough energy.
Right, right. So which energy? Is this overall, we would call it what, chi, or would we...
It's what I call life force, which is probably the same thing as chi, yes.
So, but if someone came in and on their face, it indicated that their thyroid was showing underactivity. It was cool.
It doesn't matter whether it's under or over. It's really the same problem.
Right.
And the thyroid, the issue of the thyroid, the emotional issue of the thyroid... the emotion is anxiety, but the emotional issue is what I call personal justice or injustice. And the dragon issue associated with somebody that has thyroid problems will be a person who has usually grown up in some kind of environment where they had to endure personal injustice.
Oh, how about that?
And so they take on a thyroid dragon in order to survive personal injustice that they can't change or escape. And so it's a short-term solution that creates a long-term problem, and the long-term problem will be hyperthyroid or hypothyroid.
Well, we talk about a dual cycle. It actually shows up in symbolism as four hearts meeting at the point, like a four-leaf clover, only made it with hearts. And we call this the mercy, peace, justice, war cycle.
Mm.
That when we show mercy, we get peace. But with peaceful society, what usually ends up happening is somebody who's aggressive and strong and wants to do something that they shouldn't do, they end up getting in trouble.
Right.
And it's before too long, society calls out and says, listen, we can't just let these people do what they want to do all the time. We got to have some justice here.
Right.
And so justice steps in as a policeman and either incarcerates or somehow punishes the person that has done this thing wrong.
Right.
And that's on a small scale. On a large scale, it turns into armies and war. So
right.
You have the justice and war cycle, and you have the mercy and peace cycle. And
right.
They kind of intersect in the middle. So we
right.
start out with mercy, we go to peace, then we go to justice, then we go to war,
right.
and we go around and around. And I see this imbalance that you're talking about, that there has been an injustice and nothing
right.
has been done.
Right.
And so they're manifesting this cry for justice, and it comes out in their thyroid.
Right.
That's where you're seeing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. And see, anxiety is designed to be a warning signal to tell you when something's not right so that you can correct it immediately.
Well, now that doesn't mean that you're going to go take justice to this person and then their thyroid's going to be better. It means that how they're dealing with that injustice will be looked at, and they'll say, hey, you're right. Yeah, I didn't realize I was doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. And see, again, notice it all comes down to expression. And see, when they express that feeling that triggered that anxiety, that pulls the energy through the thyroid. When it pulls the energy through the thyroid, it regenerates and rejuvenates the thyroid to do what it already knows how to do. And every organ works that way.
How about that? How about that? Well, I mean, we could take the rest of the time and go through the entire list of 23.
Yes, well, I teach a workshop on that, and that takes the entire day.
How about that? Well, you have a couple of PowerPoints. I think you've got 6 or 7 PowerPoint pages, 6 or 7 deep, on your website at ahacountryspa.com. And people can go there and click through the PowerPoint presentations and learn a lot more specifically
right.
about what goes on and what means. That is just really interesting. So the organs that have a propensity or have the ability to heal or to repair themselves can do so once the energy of the person is
right.
flowing correctly.
Right. That's it.
Well, I think that I don't know physiology that well, but I think the stomach and the intestines and the liver and I think even the pancreas and gallbladder can repair themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But other organs, once the damage is done, it's done.
Right.
Like an ulcer can repair itself or cancer can be cured. You can actually cure yourself of cancer or lupus or even blood disorders can be fixed as well.
Well, and if we think of all of these problems on the energetic level instead of on the physical level, they will be much easier to understand both the problem and the solution.
Yeah, but don't you see a physical change once
absolutely.
Change has been made?
Sure.
And what's the most serious illness that you have seen disappear once the energy was flowing correctly with the person?
Well, let's see. One of the things which can be very serious if it's a serious case is migraine headaches. And what I found is that this is almost universally what I call a split between their spirit truth and their behavior. In other words, they're not aligning with their truth. And when they really begin to see where and who and how they're doing that in their life and start aligning their energies, the headaches go away. Now, they don't go away instantly. What happens first is the person begins to realize in the moment where they're making this fork in the road, where they're deviating from their truth and their feelings and their experience. And when they're able to be conscious at that point and make a different choice, they don't go into a migraine. But when they're not, they do. And they can actually see that. So it becomes a very real experience for them once they know how it works and then are able to observe it in their own behavior.
Very, very interesting. I know migraines can be debilitating. I knew a friend of mine who was in the finance business and
right.
Literally, every Friday, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, his business would wind down for the week.
Right.
He would just disappear into a room, turn the lights off, and he'd be gone.
Yep.
It's just unbelievable power. Huh.
Also, stomach problems. And actually, in some ways, that one, at least at certain stages, can be pretty simple because it really comes down to them noticing where and how and who is not nurturing in their life and then coaching them to express themselves in such a way that they eliminate the things that are not nurturing and increase the things that are nurturing. it shifts and changes.
Well, now I have seen people who have had a sudden trauma in their life, like a tragic car accident. Now they were hurt, but miraculously they healed themselves. I mean, literally had no permanent damage from this at all. Now,
right.
But they still have trauma from the accident because, unfortunately, a couple of other people lost their lives in the accident.
Right.
And this particular person was the driver in that situation.
Right.
So there's a lot of anxiety, just a lot of things that just hidden down under that surface. You see them boiling.
Uh-huh.
And there's really not much you can do about it. Yet, this person undoubtedly, repeatedly manifests this great healing ability from this person to others, and yet cannot seem to turn that energy back on themselves to heal themselves of that trauma.
Uh-huh.
What do you recommend? How can that person unblock that little cycle where one day everything was going fine, and the next day now they have this onus on them that's just ripping them apart?
Well, the first thing that I would do is to get them clear as to exactly how their system really works and how that trauma memory is triggered, and get them more aware of what it is that's triggering it. And see, the way the dragon operates, and that's if they're having problems, that's what's going on, is through what we call a time warp. And what happens that creates this bad experience is this trigger, and it can be anything that the person associates with whatever the trauma was in any way. And it may make no sense to another person at all.
Uh-huh.
But whatever that trigger is, what happens is they immediately go into a time warp. And the time warp is living the present as if you were in the past.
Right.
And that's why we call it a time warp.
Yeah, because it's literally the dragon going around,
right,
and around and around on its own tail.
Right.
But in this particular case, they're, if not showing it on their face, mentally or subconsciously, they're going back to the trauma.
Right.
Of the accident.
And exactly.
That is affecting how they feel.
That's
right
it.
At the moment.
Right. And what I tell people is the only way that your past can influence your present is through these triggered memories of time warps.
How do you help that person? How do you...
By raising their consciousness on exactly, first of all, how it works in general, and then specifically what's going on with them, so that they can stay out of the time warp in the moment and basically stay connected to where they are here and now. And it's basically a desensitization process so that they can learn to... stay conscious enough to tell themselves and keep this image in mind that whatever it is that has triggered it is not the same as the trauma that it's triggering it.
I got you. I understand that. It's not the same.
Right.
Wow. And now, I don't know if you've ever looked at anyone with the body talker, someone who has had a traumatic accident like that. But what normally would show up in a person like that? What kind of organ?
Well, it'll vary, because what I have found is that people perceive things in their own unique ways, and it probably has to do with their own history and their own traumas, because the traumas, and that's why, you know, in a family, you'll have, you know, several kids raised in the same family, and they all perceive it very differently, even though they were pretty much all treated the same. And this is what you find with people in terms of traumas. They will they will perceive and sort out and react to that trauma according to their own programming.
And one
of the things, the kidney, for example, the emotion is fear. And so that's a likely one, because most traumas are associated with fear. But the physical function of the organ always tells you what the emotional function of the organ is. For example, the kidney. The kidney is a filter, and what it's designed to do physically is filter fluids,
right,
or liquids. And, of course, liquids and fluids are associated with emotions, and so on the emotional level, that's what the kidney is designed to do, is to filter emotional situations, or what I call toxic emotional situations. The job of the kidney is to filter out toxic emotional situations by confronting them and filtering them and processing them. But people who have kidney problems, their classic behavior is to endure toxic emotional situations. In other words, they don't say anything about it. And usually when I go back in their history, they have a history of having to live in a toxic emotional situation that they couldn't do anything about. And usually they tried to do something about it at some point. And when they did, it made it worse. And so now they're really locked into it. And so this becomes the habit pattern, is to not just leave it alone. Don't deal with it. And, of course, when you do that, it gets worse.
Sure. Wow. So maybe what this person needs to do is to come and see you and have their face examined by the body talker. And we start some biofeedback on them, and maybe they can work their way through this.
Well, once they are coached, and that they have the real desire, I mean, without motivation, you can't do much. But if the person is sufficiently motivated, and they understand, and then they understand how the game works, many times they can really take off from there.
Sure.
But if they don't know what the game is, And they don't know how it works, and they don't know what's going on inside of them, good luck. I don't know. You know, it's like your life depended upon basketball, and you had no idea how to play basketball, and you'd never read a book, and you had no idea what the rules were, and you're just thrown out on the court and said, "Here, your life depends on it. Play this game." And you don't even know what the game is.
Yeah, yeah. I've likened that to being handed the big end of the bat.
Yeah, right.
To go to the plate and hit a home run.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Idiot.
Good analogy.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's very good. Wow, that is amazing. Wow, that's good. That's good, because these are real-life situations that I have seen come up.
Uh-huh.
So, are you speaking anywhere? You say you do workshops. Where are they?
The next workshop that I'm going to be doing is going to be in Salt Lake. And that is going to be the 11th, 12th, and 13th. I'm doing one on the organs and glands and an introduction to this system, which is just part of the beginning part, so that you can understand how the game works. And then we go through the organs and glands so that you can begin to see more clearly what the language is, because literally that's where the power really starts with this whole system, is understanding that everything operates off this language, and once you learn that, then it's literally like knowing the rules to the game.
Okay, and your website again is AHA
Country Spa. And that's spelled with two H's, A-H-H-A.
Aha.
Aha, yes.
Yeah. A-H-H-A, countryspa.com.
Right.
Now, is your phone number on that website?
I'm sure it is. but
I'll
give it out one more time. It's area code 208-678-6955.
Okay, we've got it now. All right, wow, that's excellent. So now after the workshop in Salt Lake, are you doing anything in the east?
I don't have anything scheduled at this point. A lot of times the things that I do result from people who are interested that call me and we're able to put things together. So it's kind of a grassroots operation at this point. I'm much more of a clinician than I am a business person and a marketing person. So,
well, sure, I understand that. But here you have a piece of equipment that does seem to read one of the most unreadable things in the world. And
right.
That is, that's the human body.
Right.
And it would seem to me that that you don't want to keep that to yourself.
No, I definitely don't, and I'm constantly working on newer, better, quicker, more efficient ways to get this out to more people.
I've got you. Well, we have it linked now at X Squared Radio. We've got your website on there. I'm going down my guest list right now, which is getting formidable. There are a lot of people on this program. Let's see. No, you know what? I have it with one H. So I'm going to fix that right now.
Okay.
That's good. All right. So we'll have the link fixed on the website. Those of you that are listening by radio or driving in your cars, when you get to X Squared Radio, x2-radio.com, D.G. Allen's website will be correct. But for those of you that want to write it down, it's AHA, A-H, HACountryspa.com, and there's some very interesting information on there. Look at the PowerPoint presentations. They're very short, 6 or 7 slides usually. You can get through that, and you'll be able to get a hold of D.G. Allen, and maybe we can convince him to come out here to Louisville or to Charlotte or Knoxville and join a couple of other people here and give a presentation.
Great.
We live smack dab in the middle of 75% of the population of the country,
huh?
And within 8-hour drive of every major city east of the Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
So we would love to have you out sometime and
good.
Have you make a presentation. So we'll see what we can do.
Good.
Are you available for workshops out here?
I am available. It's just a matter of planning and scheduling them.
Right. Right. So if you had to offer one piece of advice for those beginners trying to get up to snuff with what you're doing, what would it be?
I suppose it is to realize that there is an order to all of this and that every symptom is a message, and the question is, can you get the message? And once you learn the language of these organs and glands, why you can get a lot better idea of what's going on in your life. Also, I have, and I hope I gave you one when I saw you in Shasta, but the booklet. If anyone's interested, they can go to my website and email me, and I have a booklet that's called it was originally called Who You Are and How You Function, which is a very straightforward title, but it's basically one page on each of the organs and glands that gives you the basic spirit and dragon functions of that organ and gland. And that's probably the most basic thing that people have to kind of start thinking, because once you start thinking about what's going on in your life, within the context of this language, everything else will start to make a lot more sense.
That's amazing. Yes, I do have the booklet. It is in my library now.
Good.
And, I greatly appreciate it. It's not very long. Maybe.
It's 23 pages.
Yeah, 6x9. It's not very long. Easy to read. Go ahead and get to his website. Pick that up. And definitely get to the website and just check it out. Email him. I know Dean is a very approachable person. We hit it off right away at Shasta. And next time I'm out there, I'm definitely looking him up.
Good.
So we can get that booklet at your website. You have an online store there?
I don't have an online store, but if they will email me, why, I will call them and get their address, and I take credit cards, and I can mail it right out to them.
Excellent, excellent. That's what we needed to know. All right, my friend, you have an excellent rest of the weekend. There's not much left of it here now.
Right.
But a great week, and if anything comes up, be sure to give us a progress report here at X-Word Radio. You can call in anytime. We're on the air on Sunday nights, and we'll be happy to give you a few minutes to explain anything you want. If you have an epiphany.
Great.
In the next...
Great, okay.
You can always get a hold of us.
Well, thank you, Brooks, and I appreciate the opportunity to have this interview, and you have a good rest of the weekend also.
Absolutely our pleasure. Thank you so much, and good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, X-Squared Radio here. I just wanted to give you one more tidbit here on the Inner Earth Expedition. Many of you have been writing us wanting to know, did we leave this summer? Have we got? Have we been and been back and didn't tell anybody? No, we haven't left yet. We are targeting next summer, and we are working very hard to make sure that happens for the world. Honestly, we are not letting a single day go by, but we do not work on this. It is a very forefront of our activities, and everything we're doing pretty much centers around it. So if you know anyone that needs to have the DVD, it is on sale now at the website at x2-radio.com. You can go to the online store and pick up the Inner Earth Expedition Part 1. People like to call it Hollow Earth Theory for Dummies. It is 31 minutes long, not too short, not too long. It has good footage from Tibet, and I'm sure you will enjoy it. So pick up a copy if you don't have one. And if your friend doesn't have one, buy one for them, because all of the proceeds from the sale of that go toward the expedition. In January, we will be taking off to Egypt to shoot Part 2. So we're trying to bring you the mysteries of the Earth and the universe as they relate to the construction of the Earth and the possibility that it might be hollow. If you have any feedback or comments on that, be sure to get a hold of us at X-Squared Radio. We'll be happy to air them. And we'll see you next week when we have Mark Pinkham and the Yes It Is on our program. We'll see you then. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X-Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.